Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series on making friends for God. Today, gifts for witness, unlimited possibilities. I'm excited because this is such a practical study for our lives today, and I want to welcome you to Hope Sabbath School, and welcome to the team. Yes. You can see I'm excited today, right? Yes. And I'm excited because this is a great series, but also because one of our team's going to be teaching today. Stephanie, we're always blessed when you teach the Word of God. We're looking forward to a really practical study, and we know that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Amen. We're also glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. You can always write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We'd love to hear from you, share it with the team and with our media team so they can be encouraged to know what God is doing. Lorene put a note on our Facebook page, and here's what she said. Hope Sabbath School has been a blessing to me. I've been watching it for years, 5 days a week, and I have learned and grown in joyful faith. And we say,
amen.
Praise God. My relationship with the Lord has blossomed. I've never felt as loved as I do now. And every time I read the Bible, I learn and gain more wisdom. Thank you. God bless you all. And we say,
amen.
Praise
Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Lorene, for sharing that with us. You know, God loves us all with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Amen. And He wants us to know that, doesn't He?
Amen.
We're going to talk about that in our study. The gifts are given to the children He loves so that we can be empowered witnesses for Him. Here's a note from Mukiza in Rwanda. Mukiza writes and says, from the time I found Hope Sabbath School, my spiritual life grew up. I cannot find enough words to thank you. I pray to our loving God to protect and support you in everything you plan to undertake as you commit yourselves to spreading the gospel around the world.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters here in Kigali, Rwanda, are ready to meet you in our home above.
Amen.
Jesus is preparing a home for us. Keep trusting in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Mukiza, we can tell that you are a follower of Jesus, and we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a little note from some donors in the United States. They write and say, please use these funds to continue to share the good news of the gospel. We have been supporters, or fans is the word they used, for more than 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And a gift of $1,200 to help the ministry of Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
We just want to say thank you there in New Hampshire for being partners with us in mission. We are a donor-supported ministry. And you remember one sent $52, right? Remember? $1 for a week? Each person, we can just be part of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we partner together. Thank you for your prayerful and loving support for Hope Sabbath School. Here's a note from Charlesworth in Antigua. Antigua?
Mm-hmm.
In the Caribbean? Hello, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hello.
Hello.
I appreciate everything on Hope Sabbath School. It's a blessing to watch you all the time. Your program helps me learn more of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I get stronger when you're on my TV.
Amen.
I like that. Thank you, Charlesworth, for writing to us from Antigua, beautiful island there in the Caribbean. And one last note from Faith in Kenya. Lots of Hope Sabbath School members in Kenya. We welcome you all. I'm Faith. I love everything about Hope Sabbath School. It's been a blessing since I started watching. I love the scripture songs.
Amen.
And most of all, Jason's enthusiasm while singing. Jason, why don't you wave to Faith in Kenya? Well, Faith, thank you for being an encouragement. We'd like you to sing with us now. We've got a beautiful song that's the theme song for this series on making friends for God. It's a 3,000-year-old scripture song written by David. My wife put a tune to it. It's a cheerful tune. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. We're making friends for God. If you haven't learned it yet, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. You can download the MP3 file and the sheet music. Learn it. Let's sing it together right now. That's what we want to do, Stephanie, as we begin our study today. Amen. Call upon the name of the Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to study your word today. We ask that as we study and then leave this place, that we will use the blessings you have given us to be a witness to those around us. Mm. Thank you, Lord, as we commit this study into your hands. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our topic today is on gifts for witnessing. Mm-hmm. All right? So when you think of a gift, what do you think of? How would you define a gift?
Something special.
Something special. Okay, Jason?
For me, I think of something free. They've given it to me. I didn't have to do anything for it.
Something free, you didn't have to do anything for it. Chuck?
It may be something I didn't have to start with.
Yeah. Something that you didn't have to start with. Mm-hmm. All right?
Usually it's Sabina? Something that makes me happy.
Something that makes you happy. Any other ideas? Well, I'll tell you what the dictionary says. It is something willingly given without payment. Yeah. Now, if you were to scan the Bible, the concept of gift could be a reward. Yeah. It could be a payment. Yeah. It could be a, an offering. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. But it could also be a spiritual endowment. Mm. And that's what we're looking at today. Mm-hmm. Spiritual endowment, a power that is beyond ourselves. Amen. So let's look and see where these gifts come from. James chapter 1, verse 17. And Aisha, would you start our study today?
Yes.
James chapter 1, verse 17, and let's see who is the giver of these good and perfect gifts.
I'll be reading from the New International Version. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Mm-hmm. All right, so where does every good and perfect gift come from?
The Father.
The Father in heaven. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And Pedro, if you would take us or read that for us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?
Mm-hmm. All right, so where do the good gifts come from?
From the Father.
The Father in heaven. All right, and what are some of the greatest gifts that we have received? John 3:16, Brittany, yep. Would you take us there?
Oh, wow.
John chapter 3, verse 16. And this may be a well-known verse to some of us, but there may be someone who's listening who's never heard it before. John chapter 3, verse 16.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
What is that gift that's given to each redeemed child of God?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life through who?
Jesus.
Through Jesus.
And not just everlasting life, but everlasting life with him.
Yes.
That's what makes it amazing.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And Laurel, would you read that for us? We're looking at some of the greatest gifts that are given to each redeemed child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It's a small book there, isn't it?
Yeah. It took me a little while to find it. 3, verse 1?
Yes.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him.
Mm-hmm. What is the gift that's given there?
That we are
behold love. What manner of
love
the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Yes.
That we would be what?
Children.
So we're adopted into the family of God.
Yes.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Mm-hmm. And Treva, would you read that for us? Luke chapter 11, verse 15. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, verse 13.
Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, and I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm-hmm. All right. Good gifts come from where?
The Father.
And what is the gift here?
The Holy Spirit.
Now, it has similar language to what we read in Matthew chapter 7, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, the Bible has something very specific to say about the Holy Spirit. It's in John. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. And Puya, would you read that for us? John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. And we want to hear of how the Bible speaks about this gift of the Holy Spirit.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 14, verse 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Amen.
That is powerful, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me what you hear about the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, I believe, is described in different ways. Another helper, the Spirit of truth, and there's just different description of him. And when you say another helper, in some way, this is someone who would, in a way, replace Jesus after Jesus leaves to heaven. You know, the Holy Spirit was to be another, meaning in the same manner like Jesus, who would love us, who was willing to do everything for us, and just being there to help us.
Amen. Jason.
In 18, it says, I will come to you. So apparently, even though Jesus is no longer with them, through the Holy Spirit, we can experience Jesus again, even if he's not physically here, per se, with us.
Amen. Did you notice it said that he will be with you
and in you?
Yes. Why is that important today? That the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be with you and in you.
Amen.
Why is it important?
It lets people know that they're not alone, that the Father, the entire Godhead is with us. So you never have to feel like you're alone in this world.
Travis,
I have multiple. The answer is, I think at the end, it says, I will not leave you orphans. Without him, we're orphans. Yeah. And so you imagine a little orphan child, no one to feed you, no one to take care of you. You're just out there and helpless. But he says, no, I'm not going to leave you that way.
Yeah. I will take care of you.
I'll take care of you.
All right, Brittany, and then we'll have to move on. Yes.
So we've been talking about how he's with us, but being in us is empowering us to reach somebody else, to help them know that they're not alone, and to know that they have a father that loves them.
So thank you for leading us into my next question. Mm. How important is it of a preparation and crucial for us to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us in Acts chapter 1, verse 4? And 8. Do you recall that? Let's look at that. Chuck, would you read Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8?
I'm reading Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 8 in the New King James Version. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Mm. Why is this gift so important and an ongoing necessity to have for this mission? Yeah. Travis.
So in and of ourselves, you know, we're carnal, the Bible says, sold into sin. And so we are to testify of the love of God. We just read, behold what manner of the love the Father has given unto us, that we may be called the children of God. Mm-hmm. So we have to reciprocate this love, and we're not capable of doing that ourselves. And so God empowers us through the Holy Spirit to be shining lights and beacons to testify of a loving, kind, gracious Savior. Amen.
And the only way we can do that is with
the power of the Holy Spirit
with us and in us. All right. So there are other gifts that are good and perfect gifts that we get from the Father in heaven. Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any verses in the Bible that speaks about other spiritual gifts that, Chuck?
1 Corinthians 12.
1 Corinthians 12. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look at verses 8 through 10. And Sabina, would you read that for us?
Yes. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, I'll be reading from the New International Version. To one there is a given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues.
And would you mind reading the next verse? Because I think that is important.
Yeah,
verse 11.
Mm-hmm. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
So what do we learn about these spiritual gifts in this verse? Mm-hmm. Jason?
Well, one, there's a lot of them, and they all have very different actions, you could say, and how they affect us in practical life.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Different gifts. What do you notice? Different gifts, but one
Spirit.
One Spirit.
Same
okay.
Spirit.
Yes. So one Spirit, differing gifts. Mm-hmm.
Given to each also.
Yes, that's right.
Given to each redeemed child of God, right?
As the Spirit wills.
As the Spirit wills. Brittany.
In verse 7, we didn't read it, but it says it's for the profit of all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we are going to go to the purpose of those gifts in just a moment. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Again, we're looking at spiritual gifts and what they are. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Gary, do you have that?
Yes.
Would you read that for us?
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men.
Mm. All right, what do we learn about these good gifts?
It's called grace.
Grace. Very good. And they have been given to us. Again, that concept of a gift without...
No strings attached.
Strings, that's right. That's what we would say in our...
Maybe there is a string attached.
Okay.
To use it.
Well, yes.
It's not that we earned it or deserve it. It's grace.
It's grace.
But the Holy Spirit would not give a gift unless it was God's plan for us to use
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Yes. And we will see that later in our study, won't we? All right. So I hope we can go back here to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 12. And we're now going to look at, I'm sorry, let's go to Romans 12 first and take a look at the spiritual gifts there in Romans 12. We don't want to miss that. Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And Pedro, would you read that for us?
Yes. Romans 12, verse 5 to 8. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teach in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness."
Do you see any common theme throughout these verses that we've looked at? Multiple gifts.
Right. The same
spirit.
One thing I noticed, Stephanie, is the lists aren't the same.
Yeah. They're not.
Which tells me that there's lots of gifts. Maybe
That's
even
right.
more than those two lists
right.
that the Holy Spirit might give.
Yes. Pedro.
One thing I've been noticing here is the gifts is not for ourselves, it's
right.
for us to give.
Yeah.
It's a channeling process of receiving the blessing and giving to others as we receive.
Yes. Very true. Now we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 7. And Jason, if you would read that for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And we're transitioning to understand what is the purpose. And Pedro already somewhat alluded to that. It's for the purpose of not just ourselves. Jason, would you read that for us?
I'm reading here from the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all."
So it's for the profit of all. It's not just for the person who possesses it. Haiti.
I also saw there in Romans that we're to do it like wholeheartedly, you know, and do our best. You know, I have two teenagers at home, and sometimes you tell them to do something, and they're like, "That's good enough," you know? But God is telling us, do it with your whole being, you know? Do your best for the Lord.
Amen. Sometimes that's hard to learn, isn't it? It is. So what would encourage us to do the best that we can for God?
Wow.
Pedro.
Well, I think when we look back in Acts, we see the blessing of being a witness. And that portrays what the Spirit is doing in us, because we can have someone close to us. I can have Brittany next to me, but she's not in me. You know, as a friend or somebody that you love. If God is in you, you're going to portray that what you live by with that person. You know, I can rejoice of my wife everywhere I go because she's inside of me. Now, when we look into these gifts and to this blessing to be prophet of all, when we have Jesus in us, everybody will profit because we'll show the love that we have for him.
So it's important, going back to what we learned, to have the Spirit with us and in us, working through us. All right, let's turn to Ephesians. You'll notice we're going back and forth between Ephesians and 1 Corinthians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and this time we'll look at verses 11 through 16. And our focus is to find out what is the purpose of spiritual gifts and who has that they could read it. Puya?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
There were quite a few points there, weren't there?
Yes.
Let's start starting in verse 11. How many gifts?
Many.
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 Different gifts. Okay. And for the purpose?
Ministry.
The work of ministry.
Right.
The work of ministry.
To edify the body of Christ.
Correct.
Yes.
That's right.
Servifying.
The work of ministry.
Unity.
Perfecting
of the
saints. Yeah. So how can a gift perfect the saints? We're going to look at that when we look at the body.
Right.
And we'll understand that more. What else do you see here is the purpose for the gifts? Chuck?
That says quite a few things, that there be unity, a unity of faith, and that we no longer are tossed back and forth with false doctrines or things that would take us away from God.
So our foundation is solid in the Word of God, educating. Yes, Travis?
Well, I was just going to build on what Chuck said, but also speaking the truth in love. So it seems like the trickery of men has something to do with the absence of love, if he's saying this truth will be spoken in love. So definitely, and he ends it too, for the edifying itself in love. So so we see that these gifts are given so that the love, they'll testify of Jesus, the love of Jesus is pronounced to the world and seen through the body of Christ.
Powerful. Speaking of the body of Christ, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be looking at a passage from verse 12 through 27, but we'll split that up. So, Sabina, if you would prepare to read verses 12 through 14, and Treva, verses 15 through 20, and then Jason, 21 through 27. I'd like us to be thinking about this image of the body similar to the church of God. All right?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, although all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
All right. What is something that you see in here that can help us understand the various gifts that are given to the body of Christ? Chuck?
There's a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
And yet there's unity. There's this a lot of differing parts to a body. I mean, anyone who's taken anatomy and physiology, I forget how many bones we have, over 200, right? And we have that many, and this is talking a whole lot more than that. And yet, it's all part of one thing, accomplishing one purpose. So God wants us to be like that.
Amen. So there are multiple members, but one body.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Have you ever seen hands moving in one direction and the feet moving in a different direction than someone? Have you ever seen that?
No.
How much work do they accomplish?
Together.
They have to work in coordination together in order to accomplish the good. And that's one thing that we can understand from the body. Let's look at verses 15 through 20. And Treva, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Translation, chapter 12, starting with verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body.
So how does this help us to understand the importance of each spiritual gift? Treva.
We should be working together as a unified body in Christ, given that gift of the Spirit, whatever gift that may be, to glorify the church.
Mm. Aisha.
It also reminds me of different characters, you know, like different abilities that some may have, and then you need all of them to make it work.
Yes. Amen. Beautiful. All right, Pedro.
It is interesting here that we all complement each other. You know, we need each other to grow.
Yes.
In fact, we cannot be isolated, otherwise we're not going to be able to grow, but we need to be able to give, but also be able to receive a blessing from someone.
Amen.
So as we grow in Christ, as the head of the body, we will be able to help each other. And it's interesting here that we notice on this part here that we're talking about the body, but when we come to these verses here, we're talking about the senses. We see hearing, we see speaking, we see smelling. So it's important for us to be aware of our senses as we work in the community to help each other and to bless each other.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Very, very well said. Thank you. Jason, would you continue on in verses 21 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12?
I'll be reading here from the New King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 27. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
So what does that tell us about the importance of each spiritual gift, each member of the body?
They're all very important. They all play a role. We shouldn't put one spiritual gift above the other. And when
That's
we
right.
see as a body something is lacking, we can ask and pray for God to help us and give us that gift that we need in order to glorify Him.
No partiality.
Yes.
Gary?
As compared to the previous section, 15 to 20, you see more of the person or the individual kind of wanting or envying other gifts.
Right.
Be happy with the gift that God has blessed you with
right.
because it is necessary.
Yeah.
Right. And in the latter part, 21 to 27, you see other gifts, you know, trying to rank each other.
Right.
Right? So there is an internal and an external dichotomy that can be there. But we should be thankful for what we have and be thankful that there are those who will make up for what we lack.
Amen.
So we've spoken about the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from
God.
And that there's a reason, there's a purpose for our gifts.
Yes.
when do we receive those gifts? Can someone help me out with that? When do believers receive their spiritual gifts? And we need to have some biblical support, so.
Right.
All right. Who wants to help me out with that? Brittany.
Well, we see the story of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. Mm-hmm.
Can you take us there?
Sure.
All right. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Mm. When did the Holy Spirit come upon him? When were those gifts?
At his baptism.
At his baptism. All right. What about the believers?
At Pentecost, yeah.
All right, yes.
Stephanie, that the Holy Spirit was always with Jesus.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit, was with John the Baptist in his mother's womb. So I think it's important to recognize the Holy Spirit wasn't away from Jesus at any moment. But there's this anointing. That's what the Messiah is, right? Yes. The anointed one. He's beginning his ministry, his public ministry, and there are special gifts that will be given to him.
For his public ministry.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for catching that. All right. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. And Jason, do you have that you could read that for us?
I'll read here from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
And this is what? The day of
Pentecost.
Pentecost. All right. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. Chuck, would you read that for us? Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6.
I am reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 19, starting with verse 1. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
All right, back to our original question. When do believers receive spiritual gifts? Puya?
I think what is common in this text that we're reading is that people receive, believers receive the Holy Spirit when they're willing to turn away from their sins at the conviction of the Holy Spirit and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I think that is the moment when God gives us the Holy Spirit and the gifts.
So go ahead.
Well, I think the fruit of the Spirit, which are also gifts, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we just read text that when we ask, He will give us the Holy Spirit. So we see people, their lives are changed and they start being kind. And one of the gifts we read about earlier was mercy, showing mercy. And we see that. So it's the when we ask for the Holy Spirit and He comes and dwells in us, then He works through us with these different gifts.
So we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there were multiple gifts, right?
Yes.
But one Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Chuck, you had a comment.
Yes. When we look at Acts chapter 2, Peter is saying that repent, be baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see in Acts chapter 19 that they had already had a baptism of repentance, but now they're having a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and they receive the Holy Spirit. It's almost like the mindset we see in the early church, and I pray someday also, not someday, but it will also be in our church, and that is when a person is baptized into Jesus Christ, it's not just a baptism into Christ separate from receiving the Holy Spirit for ministry. We see the Holy Spirit being poured out. And yes, the gift of tongues is given in Acts 19 for the purpose of ministry.
Amen.
And I think that that is the picture here. You're not just being baptized to join a fun club, so to speak. You're being baptized to enjoy the same ministry Christ had. You're joining with Him in ministry and baptism.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Travis.
So I was thinking about this as Chuck was speaking. I remember a pastor preaching in the Philippines, spoke in English the whole night. All the people came forward when he made the altar call. And he said, does the elder people, because they mostly spoke in Tagalog, always come up with the young people? And he said, no. He said, then how did they know to come forward? And they said, Pastor, you were speaking in Tagalog all night. So whether it was the gift of interpretation or the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit gave it when it was needed.
That's right.
And so that's what came to me. When do these gifts come? When they're needed. When the Holy Spirit sees they're needed.
Yes.
All right. Brittany.
And I was going to just add on to that because we have that example with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 where they received the gift of the Holy Spirit before they were baptized because they needed to understand and there was speaking in tongues and different languages and everything then even before the baptism. So exactly when it's needed is when the Holy Spirit is given those gifts.
So how do we discover those spiritual gifts that we have received? There is a difference, right? You could have received a spiritual gift and you have not fully discovered that yet. How do you discover the spiritual gift that you have received? Pedro?
I think it's going back to what Derek has said. We have to understand the gift of the Spirit in our lives. The Spirit is available and it was always available. But it comes into our life when we believe. I think here in Acts, when we look in the chapter 19, there was a desire to believe. They gave the, do you want to believe on Jesus Christ who came to die for our sins? And when they believe, we saw that the activity of the Spirit happening in their lives. So as Christians, we should believe on these blessings. God has spoken, and sometimes we can be skeptical of what the Bible has said. Can that happen? Yes, if you believe.
Trevor.
Well, it goes back to what we talked about before. Like, you have to be active in ministry. Like, you cannot just ask for these gifts and then don't use them. And so it goes back to when there is a need. So if you're doing ministry and maybe, you know, you desire to teach and you want to spread the gospel, you know, Father, give me that gift of teaching. I'm trying to do it and I need help. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. So it really is about being active.
Being engaged.
Being engaged.
Now, you may try something and realize that is not your gift. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
And someone may tell you it's not your gift.
Right.
In a loving way.
In a very loving way.
I'm thinking of our group here. Some are running equipment. They're very skillful with technology. And of course, most of our Hope Sabbath School members don't see any of that. Some have a gift of teaching.
Amen. Yeah.
Others have a gift of compassion or mercy or sharing. We have different gifts.
Yes.
I think Trevor's right on target when she says, say, God, I'm available to be involved in ministry, just like Chuck said, and the Holy Spirit will guide us. Now, let me share something that Travis said, which is a little bit radical. As I step forward in faith, he may actually give me a gift that I need to do what he's asking me to do. So I think there's a dynamic process that goes on. Amen. But actually, it's when we step out and get involved in a team and someone says, I think you're really good at logistics, you know, or you're good at mercy. So you go visit the people who are sick, because when so-and-so goes, it doesn't really help. but they're good at that. They're good at this. That's a gift they've been given. We do ministry. We listen to the body of Christ affirming. We listen to the Spirit ourselves, and the Holy Spirit helps us to discover the gift that He's given.
Travis.
I'm really happy that Derek brought that up, because there's something that struck me as Derek was speaking, is that we don't have to be discouraged in ministry when something don't work out. Maybe there's something else. And I think that's really important. You know, we're not built for everything, and God may not give us certain gifts. Don't get discouraged when something don't work. Keep putting yourself out there. Let God use you, because He has a place for you.
Right. And the question is, how do we discover it? I think one thing that we can all do is to ask, you know, to ask God to show us or to lead us to the place where we can be useful for Him. Sometimes we are not in a place where we are most useful or available for Him. So by asking God to lead us to places or to people whom we can help with the gifts that He has gifted us with, I think. So we have to ask.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. And it's something that we might easily just overlook, right?
When I was 6 years old, a godly man came to my father, who was still in his 20s, working for a building company, and said, I believe you have the gifts to be a pastor. I see you as a young youth leader in our little church, and I recognize in you. So another way God can use, my father left his job, we all got in a little car and drove to New Bell College, where he studied, became a pastor and an evangelist. And hopefully he's watching this program, because God used him in amazing ways. But someone came to him, led of the Spirit, and said, I recognize gifts of the Spirit in you. I think we may also be used by God to share that discernment with other people.
That's when
I see something. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Maybe someone's done that for us, and it made an impact on us.
What is interesting, though, is that he didn't just hear it. He listened.
And obeyed.
And he obeyed. He did. And I happen to know your mom and dad. And I know that they have been gifted for ministry. They have that in their heart. What are some promises that we could claim for those, or we could share with those who, to encourage them? Chuck.
James chapter 1, verse 5.
All right. James, would you take us there? James chapter 1, verse 5.
You're talking about encourage them to discover their spiritual gift?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Of course, there's encouragement here as well for everything, but...
In James 1, 5, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So asking for wisdom. You wanted to say something.
Yes. No. This is beautiful, because we all, I can speak broadly, lack wisdom at times in our lives.
Sure.
And he's promised that anyone who asks for wisdom. So this is not a spiritual gift that some may have and some may not have. Wisdom is something that anyone can have if they ask God of it.
Amen.
And with that gift, we can discover the other gifts that God has for us.
Yes, there are many times in church settings that I've experienced where, as a pastor, I overlooked some things where some members would come and say, hey, we should probably do this or something that I would have never thought about. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, I would say if someone doesn't feel like he has or she hasn't discovered the gift that God has given them yet, I would say look for ways where you feel the need of improvement or the need how we can better the church of God, the body of Christ. And when you see the need that no one else feel the need, yeah. in some ways that may be where God is gifting you to sense the need, yeah. you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Any other promises that you can think of? Laurel.
The gift of knowledge, I mean, just getting knowledge from God that's seen in Jeremiah 33.
All right, would you take us to Jeremiah 33?
And verse 3.
And verse 3? Okay.
All right. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Wow. That's a promise, isn't it?
Right. Amen.
Call to me. I will show you things that you don't know.
Amen. And what we said earlier, Stephanie, is the Holy Spirit gives at least one gift to every believer, right?
That's right.
As He wills.
As He wills.
So it makes sense that if we're not sure what it is, we can ask.
Yeah.
God, show me. And He may show me through a vision, a dream, a conviction, or through a person coming.
Person. Yes.
But when they come, we recognize that God sent them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And that would also be the Holy Spirit leading us
Absolutely.
As well to understand. Right. So we have learned that all good gifts come from
God,
all right? And that there's a reason why we have those gifts,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And there are multiple gifts, but one Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we can receive that, we can discover that, mm-hmm. but what good is it if we don't use it?
Amen.
All right, so let's take a look at a famous, very well-known story in Matthew chapter 25. And we'll be looking at verses 15 through 30. Is there someone who would be able to read that for us? Matthew chapter 25, 15 through 30. Aisha, would you read that for us?
Sure. Matthew chapter 25, verse 15 to 30, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them, and thrown that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So what happens when we use the talents God has given us?
He blesses.
He multiplies it, right? So we add, he multiplies. Mm-hmm. It's so important that we keep in mind that when he has given us these spiritual gifts, it's not just for ourselves.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's for blessing other people. There's a purpose. And what is the purpose? Ministry. To witness, to reach others, and to become unified in one body.
Yes.
All right, just a few comments as we close our study here.
Well, I'm thinking about something Derek has said at the beginning of the study, that we have to know God before we make friends with God, before we can make friends for God. Mm-hmm. The man with one talent didn't make friends with God, obviously, because he didn't understand the character of his master.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'd like us to think as we're closing. We've talked about the spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. When there is one spirit and there's one purpose, there will be unity of service.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when that happens, what God can do with a body of believers who are unified, the possibilities are unlimited.
Amen.
Are you ready to experience Acts chapter 2 again?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
One spirit, one purpose, in unity of service.
Amen.
Thank you for studying.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. What a great study. And, you know, maybe you're watching the program and you're saying, I want to discover my gift. Well, we've learned from Jeremiah 33, ask, you know. Call to me, I will answer you, show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I love that text in James 5. Ask for wisdom, God will give liberally and without reproach or criticism. He wants to give us wisdom, not just to make good decisions in life, but to discover the spiritual gift he's given to us so that we can be faithful, spirit-empowered witnesses for him. I think it's an exciting journey, but right at the very foundation is having that personal connection with God. Because when we know the Master, we'll be fruitful in His service. And that's our prayer for each one. Let's pray that we can be those fruitful servants, those faithful witnesses for Him. Father in heaven, we're challenged to recognize that the Spirit has given us gifts. Some are using them already. Some may have other gifts yet to be discovered. Lead someone to us, show us through an experience. But when we find that gift, may we be faithful servants who use the gifts for the honor of the Master and the blessing of your children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're not just supposed to sit around till Jesus comes, but use the spiritual gifts the Spirit has given to be a blessing to those around us.